And hopefully, as you've been listening to those words that Jesus speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his disciples, so you're able to see why we started with that question tonight from the Catechism when learning together. It was quite intentional that we thought about sanctification. We thought about the work that the Holy Spirit does in those who come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's always important to be reminded of what the Lord does in the lives of those that he saves in Christ. So let's remember again what good spiritual health actually involves, what that looks like in our life. And we're able to say that to be perfectly spiritually healthy is to be just like Christ Jesus. Jesus is the picture of good spiritual health. And what that means is then to be growing more spiritually healthy is to be growing like Christ Jesus. Indeed, that is the goal. That is the intention that God has for those that he saves and draws to himself in Christ. It's not that we'll stand still, hanging around, waiting for glory and spending eternity with him. Eternal life begins here and now. And Jesus is at work in his church, as we have thought about. The Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of those who have trusted in Christ. And this is a process. This is going to a point when we will become just like Jesus. That will be the completed work of God in the lives of his people. And so to help our spiritual health, to help us in our Christian growth, we're doing these couple of booster sessions at the beginning of this year. But as we do this, and as we come back to this course once again, we do that with a warning attached. Here's the danger of doing a course like this, and it is a real danger, no matter how well these courses are put together. The danger is that in our minds, this can become a self-help guide or a self-help course. That we come to imagine that it is all about me. It's all about what I do. It's all about the effort that I put into the Christian life. That is what will determine what God thinks of me and how my life will progress as a believer in Christ. And of course, that is the exact opposite of the gospel. The gospel is not about self-help. The gospel tells us, actually, you and I have a problem. And we're not able to deal with that problem or solve that problem ourselves. We are completely reliant upon God's help, his rescue. That is exactly why God sent his son Jesus into the world in the first place. And so tonight, recognizing that growth and good spiritual health can only come through God's work within us, I want to think for a few moments about the way in which the Lord does that work. And I reckon that what we look at tonight, what we think about, will be a precursor to what we will be doing, God willing, next month when we look at Prepared to Serve Together. Then we'll be thinking about the spiritual gifts that God gives to his people through his Holy Spirit and how those gifts can be used for his glory and for the good of one another. But tonight, before we get to that, we want to ask more basic questions, questions that many of you here tonight will be aware of the answers to, and yet questions that we should always keep before us in the Church of Jesus Christ. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? What is the evidence that he is at work within us? How do we know that the Spirit is at work, that there is something that is real going on in our hearts and our lives. And we begin by saying that the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to our spiritual health. We know that because He is absolutely essential to us coming into any kind of spiritual health in the first place. He is instrumental in us coming to trust in Christ and to believe the gospel. In fact, I think we could go as far as to say, based on all that we read in God's Word, that without the Spirit's work, you would not be a follower of Christ. I pause because that's a humbling statement, isn't it? That's humbling to me. I'm sure that's humbling to you, because somehow in our minds, we like to imagine that we are the people who determine where we stand with the Lord. But the stark reminder of Scripture is that without the Spirit's work, you would not be a believer in and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we think about that conversation between the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus, that famous conversation that's recorded by John back in chapter 3. And in John 3, verse 5, what is it that Jesus tells Nicodemus? Well, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Do you hear that? No one. The essential work of God's Holy Spirit. With that in mind, let's turn again to John chapter 16 as we think about some of the verses scattered through this farewell discourse. So I'll be encouraging you to look along with me. We'll be looking at some particular verses in chapter 16. We'll also be looking at what Jesus says about the work of the Holy Spirit back in chapter 14 as well. But one verse above all others, I think we need to start with as we consider the importance of the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. I always find this an amazing thing. I know it's a verse that I've drawn your attention to here in our church in Connor on a number of occasions, but for good reason. Listen to these words again. In John 16, verse 7, if it were possible, listen to these words like this is the first time that you're hearing Jesus say this to you, and be grabbed by what Jesus is saying, the actual truth of Jesus' words. Because it is truth. He says, "I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away." Now let's pause and think about that. This is God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who is saying this to disciples who are freaking out, who are devastated, because that's exactly what they're hearing from Jesus. "I'm going to leave you." And they can't take it. But he's saying, "No, actually, it is for your good that I am going away." He continues and he explains, "Unless I go away, the counselor," or we can translate that, "the advocate," in other words, the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And that is surely a verse that will correct any deficient view that we have of God's Holy Spirit. That's a verse that will make us understand the central importance of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives as believers and in the life of this church. It's like Jesus is saying to them, "It's better for you to have me living within you rather than walking alongside you. You think that it's all important that I am physically present with you, but wait until the Holy Spirit comes and you have me dwelling within you." And so with that in mind, two important things that the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit. The first is that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force, not some kind of vague presence, but a person. That's why in Scripture he is referred to as he. And that's why we should speak of him as he, not it, as some very old hymns have mistakenly done. And then the other thing about the Holy Spirit is that he is God. He is what we describe as the third person of the Trinity. And in the Scriptures, we'll hear different ways in which he is described, different names that are given to him, not least tonight as we think about what Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit. But you'll notice in Scripture that he is described as both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And when you take that all together, that helps to contribute to our understanding of the Trinity. I know the Trinity is complex, and the relationships within the Godhead, that it takes a bit of thought to get our heads around all of that, but we understand where the Holy Spirit fits into all of that. So how does he help us in our spiritual health? Well, here in these chapters in John's Gospel, Jesus teaches his followers what the Holy Spirit will do in their lives, why it will be better for them that Jesus leaves them and that he sends his Spirit, his Counselor, his Advocate, as it can be translated in that verse. Here's the role of the Holy Spirit as revealed by the Lord Jesus. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. And of course, that is the first important role of the Holy Spirit in the life of someone who has not received Christ. He shows us our sin, and then he helps us to understand the seriousness of that sin, so that we not only recognize it to be sin, we see why that is such a huge problem and such an unacceptable thing. He helps us to understand the lostness that sin leads to. And that is the vital first job, because it's only if you are convicted of your sin that you will see the need of a Savior, and you will look to and place your trust in Jesus. But I want you to understand that that conviction that the Holy Spirit brings about, that this role of convicting is a continuing role. Yes, there is the essential beginning of that, so that we will trust in Christ, but that is an ongoing conviction, so that we will keep seeking God's grace in Christ, so that we will keep remembering the gospel and not become complacent. So that, as I often say, quoting from Paul Tripp, we need the grace of God just as much today as the hour we first believed. I wonder, do we really believe that? I say that and quote that all the time. You hear that all the time. But maybe in our arrogance, we actually think, well, not really. Actually, I'm doing pretty well. No, you and I need God's grace. Right here, right now. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that need. But then the Holy Spirit comes alongside. So we think about that description of the Holy Spirit by Jesus, who often refers to him as, I think it's translated here as counselor. And that's counselor as in, you know, if someone goes for counseling, they go for guidance, or advocate, someone who speaks up for. Really, the original Greek word, it's hard to get an exact translation, but the idea is someone who comes alongside. So there are moments in your life when you go through difficulty and you need someone to come alongside you, we talk about that, don't we? We say, you know, I think that guy there, or I think this woman, could you go and help? Could you just come alongside them and get alongside them and help them out? And that's the ultimate ministry of the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside so that if we look at Jesus' promise back in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, John 14, verse 16, and he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and you see the way that the Trinity is involved in this, that the God, the three persons, and I will ask, that's the Son Jesus saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, there's the word counselor, or advocate, or helper, one who comes alongside to be with you forever. And let's look at the previous verse in chapter 14, John 14, verse 15, so that we're absolutely sure who this promise is for. He precedes that statement by saying to his disciples, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then he continues, and I will ask the Father. And so for believers in Christ here tonight, what Jesus goes on to say down in verse 18 in chapter 14 really is good news. When you, like I often do, feel totally disorientated in this world and maybe feel a little bit alone in circumstances that you go through, Jesus will not abandon his disciples. He says, I will not leave them as orphans. And what Jesus is promising there is the continuing presence of his Holy Spirit. He's saying that the Spirit would bring his presence into the lives of his disciples. And of course, the great impact of that presence is peace. It's another big theme in the words that Jesus speaks in these chapters, that he puts alongside the presence of the Holy Spirit the peace that the Spirit can bring in all kinds of circumstances in the believer's life. And that brings us on to the next thing that Jesus identifies as being a role that the Holy Spirit will fulfill, that the Holy Spirit comforts and assures. And if you look at chapter 14, verse 20, he says of when the Spirit will come, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now that takes a bit of unpacking, doesn't it? But it has a lot of parallels to what we were thinking about a couple of Sundays ago at our noon service. We kicked off the year with John chapter 10 and Jesus' great statement, I am the good shepherd. And he was saying the same kind of thing back there. He's talking about how he is the vital link, bringing God the Father and bringing his followers together. And you could describe this as being triple locked. It's the thing that Jesus alone can do. It's the assurance that he alone can give. The security of knowing that we are one of God's people and we're secure in his grip. And then the next thing that the Holy Spirit does is he teaches us the truth. And that's very much related to who Jesus is, as we'll discover in a moment. So a selection of verses on the screen there that you might want to jot down and look at later on. One of the ways that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit is as the Spirit of Truth. So you can see that in chapter 14, verse 17. And it gets right to the heart of this major role that the Holy Spirit has in the lives of believers. Remember what we have discovered already about the Holy Spirit's role in the lives of these disciples. Look with me again at verse 26 in chapter 14. Remember he says, but the counselor, that is the advocate, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And I want you to understand that in that particular verse, and this takes a little bit of unpacking, but in that particular verse, that is the Lord Jesus speaking very specifically, in fact, exclusively to the 12, to his disciples. And while we have that verse tonight, we need to understand that in that particular verse, this is Jesus speaking to the 12. So he is saying, and this is why this has relevance to us, if you bear with me, he's saying to the 12, I will teach you all things. Or sorry, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said to you. So do you ever wonder about the Gospels? And maybe you sit down and you earnestly want to read the Gospels, but you begin to read them and you think, hang on a minute. You know, I'm reading these words and this is saying that Jesus said, but how can I be absolutely sure that Jesus said this? That Gospel was not written on the night that Jesus spoke those words. And even if I get a Bible out of the cupboard that has those little study things, if I read it at the beginning, I see that that Gospel was written a lot of years after Jesus had walked on the earth. So how can I be sure? Well, you can be sure because of this one single verse. So that's why it's so important for us to hear this tonight. Jesus speaking to the apostles who then wrote the scriptures, these God-breathed words, he's saying to them, I will send my Spirit, and my Spirit will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I have said to you. So John, the writer of this gospel, is one of that number, receiving that promise from the Lord Jesus, and then later benefiting from the Holy Spirit so that we benefit tonight, receiving the direct words of the Lord Jesus. That's how Scripture works. And the Holy Spirit also plays a key role in helping us to understand the truth. Again, in chapter 16 and verse 13, he's described by Jesus as the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says of him that when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He'll not be speaking on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And this time, that's Jesus speaking to all believers in all places and at all times. In other words, that is Jesus giving a promise to you who are a believer in Christ. So don't set your sights too low. Don't think, you know what? I mean, even what Philip's saying here tonight, I'd like to kind of try and stick with this, but I'm just not sure what he's on about, or I'm not sure that I've got the kind of mind where I can take all of this in. Here's the promise of the Lord Jesus to you about the Holy Spirit, that he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come, and he does that well. And it brings us to the final thing that the Holy Spirit does. And that is that ultimately he points us to the Lord Jesus. If you look at chapter 16, verse 13, and you look at that verse again, what is it that Jesus is telling us about the Spirit? He is saying of the Holy Spirit, he will not speak on his own. He will not wing it. He will speak only what he hears. And central to this truth is the Lord Jesus. We need to see that the Holy Spirit has a very particular role. He always, always points us to Christ. And I think that's a great corrective in churches or in the lives of believers who maybe place such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit almost to the expense of Christ. The Holy Spirit will always testify to Christ. So that in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus refers to him as the Spirit of truth, and he says, he will testify about me. So he will tell people about who Christ is and what he came into the world to do. As he tells you that, do you ignore what the Holy Spirit has to say to you? As he convicts you of sin and tells you of your need of Christ as Savior, have you somehow resisted that voice all these years? And of course, this then gives us great confidence in the task that we are called to, that task of bringing the gospel to others. On our own, it would be a pointless task. If we were to go into Connor and down the street into Kells and attempt to share the gospel with people, whether that be delivering gospel literature or getting out on the streets in other ways or trying innovative ways of bringing people here, if we were doing that in our own strength without the Spirit's aid, it would be pointless. But here's the application. A couple of things that I think we can say in response to all that Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit in these farewell words to his disciples. Number one, those who overemphasize the Holy Spirit, and I just want to be careful in how I talk about that, given the verse that we began with, the central importance of the Holy Spirit. But those who big up the Holy Spirit's place in their lives and in the church at the expense of God the Father or God the Son are going contrary to the teaching of the Holy Spirit himself. They're not actually faithfully listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us through God's word. And the other application, well, believer in Christ, you and I should follow his example. Chapter 15, verse 27, and you also must testify. Doing it within the power of the Holy Spirit, but doing it nonetheless. We've completely run out of time. I have another big thing that I was going to say about the Holy Spirit, but I don't think we're going to be able to say that tonight. Let me very quickly show you two pictures here, okay? And I'll try and summarize this into 2 minutes, and then we will sing and finish up. I was going to read Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 26. I'll show you in a moment some questions for you to take away, and I can send those questions to people and post those on Facebook. But I want you to read that passage later on as you think about the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives and the impact of that work. And there are two pictures that I leave you with tonight, two pictures that Paul paints in that particular passage. The first picture is one that we are very familiar with and probably what springs to mind when we think of that chapter of Galatians. It is the picture of a fruitful tree. A tree that is bearing fruit. And that's the impact that the Holy Spirit has in the life of a believer. There should be fruit that is produced in our life. There should be characteristics that are present in our life as a result of the Holy Spirit's work. So that when people look at you, when people relate to you, they should see present in your life love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But there's another picture, and it's one that I want you to maybe think about in your own time, that is also painted in that passage, and it is the picture of a battle. So that you sometimes, or was it someone said of Stormont and the executive there, it's a battle a day. Well, in the Christian life, going on within you, and so this maybe will make sense as you think about how you often feel in your Christian life, there is going on in your life a battle a day. It's the battle between God's Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in your life when you trust in Christ, and to use the Greek word sarx, the word flesh, the sinful nature, as it's, I think, translated in the NIV. So the two are warring for dominance of your life. That's why at times you're feeling this struggle. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to think that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to say that. And we think about what it is that Paul says. Good words to take on board as we finish. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How's your life looking? And do you see the activity of God's Holy Spirit in your life? The writer of this spiritual health check summarizes it like this. He says, our job is to let the Holy Spirit do His job, to keep in step with Him in our life. So let me just bring up this slide at the end. Things that you can be thinking about in your own time, and I realize that in 1 minute you'll not be able to jot all of this down. I'll keep this on at the end of the service, and we'll make sure this is on the screen if anybody wants to take a shot of this, or I can WhatsApp that to you. Some people asked for that the last time, and I'll put that on Facebook as well. But I want you to think about these things. Let's think about that Galatians passage and what we're saying there. Which acts of the flesh are you battling against and being defeated by? An honest assessment of your life. And then which parts of the fruit of the Spirit do you see growing in your life and which feel most distant from you? Answering those questions will enable you to pray in a way that is seeking the Spirit's continuing work in your life. We're going to sing together, There is a Redeemer, which tells us what Jesus was willing to do for us, and then talks about the promise